This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Now, I could be hopelessly wrong and I don't mind, but let's see. Good morning, Zanti. I hope you're well.
Good morning, Brad. Oh, good is net for my altijd so awesome word, because God is just good and he works universally. And what a beautiful psalm, and a psalm we live by, a psalm. Ja, die Here is my herder wat ek elke dag van my lewe doen en om my herder te wees vir sy flok. En today I want to speak about something that is very relevant to that psalm, because I am talking about the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And when he wants you to do something, to do that. And to bring that to Psalm 23, it says that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And sometimes that I shall not want comes through being obedient to the Holy Spirit. Because the God uses us to make the want and the needs of others less. Dit is so mooi as die Here het ons nie nodig nie. Hy hoef nie, he's God. But he chooses to use us. He chooses to work through us. And in us being a blessing to somebody else, God blesses us the most. Is dit net fenomenaal nie, nê? En dat as die Here sê, maar ek is jou herder en jy sal niks kort kom nie, dan speel ek en jy 'n rol in ander mense se niks kort kom nie. Because he uses us to be his hands and his feet and his mouth and his ears and his body. Nee, ons is die liggaam van Christus. We are his body on earth. And the Holy Spirit lives in us and works through us. So vandag wil ek bietjie praat oor, ja, hoe help ons dan ander met hulle needs? And what do we do when we feel that prompting of the Holy Spirit? Nou ek wil vir jou sê, the prompting of the Holy Spirit in us, in my eie persoonlike lewe, het die Here al gebruik om Laurens se lewe te red.
Wow.
Nie net vir my net om net 'n need te meet nie, but to save his life. Julle, my pa is in 2010 oorlede nadat hy 40 dae in ICU gelê het. Hy het 'n leweroorplanting gekry en 'n year later, Brad, his body rejected his new liver.
Okay.
And for 40 days he died every day a bit more. And on the 40th day, he went to heaven. But in those 40 days, Lawrence and I were sitting next to his bed every single day. En dit was my so kostbaar, want my pa het Rooms-Katoliek groot geword. En he came to, ja, hy het tot bekering gekom, en, but he was never baptized. En in ICU, seker so, hier by dag 2021 daar rond, toe my pa net hierdie ongelooflike prompting van die Heilige Gees het hy gedoop. Wat 'n voorreg om my pa te kon doop in 'n ICU bed. In Pretoria Oos Hospitaal. And because if the Holy Spirit prompts you act, because godly obedience is first time obedience. Maar jy sien toe my pa sterf en die volgende dag sien ek Laurens lyk glad nie lekker nie. Hy het so strys kleer. Hy lyk net nie vir my reg nie, maar hy's moeg en ek's moeg. Ons is emosioneel moeg, ons is geestelik moeg, ons is fisies moeg. Ons kan nie meer nie. Ons het 5 kinders, ons het my pa by wie ons elke dag in die hospitaal sit en met hom journey, want hy het baie vrae gehad oor die hemel. En weet net dat ek weet my man is nie gesond nie. En daai aand toe ons gaan slaap, dis die prompting van die Heilige Gees so sterk in my, nê, maar ons rationaliseer mos goed.
Ja.
So ek kan sê, weet jy wat, dis net omdat ons moeg is of ek is nou ernstig angstig omdat my pa nou net oorlede is. Jy weet, in the But I want to warn you today that if you don't as ons nie op die Heilige Gees se prompting reageer nie, then there's nothing more the Lord can do. Want we have to act en moet dit nie rationaliseer nie. En 11 uur daai nag, toe prompt die Heilige Gees my nog steeds en ek weet dat ek weet iets is fout en ek maak Laurens wakker en ek sê, weet jy wat, ek wil jou nou dokter toe vat. Hy sê, my Zanti, dis 11 uur die nag, ek is moeg. Ek kan nie meer nie, ek is doodmoeg. los my uit, ek wil net slaap. En ek sê vir hom, weet jy, ek kan nie. Ek kan regtig nie. Ek bel my vriendin wat 'n GPS. En lank storie kort, ek kry Lawrence georeed. Ons gaan dokter toe daai aand 11:00. Sy doen 'n EKG, sy sê vir my iets lyk nie lekker nie, sy trek bloed. En sy sê vir my ek moet net my foon aanhou langs my, sy sal my bel. En 2:00 die oggend toe bel sy my en sy sê net vir my die volgende, sy sê vir my Zanti, maak vir Lawrence baie saggies wakker, moenie dat hy stres nie. Maar die ICU kardiologiese afdeling in die Wilgers wag vir jou. Daar kom nie suurstof by sy hart uit nie. Daai oggend 3:00 word hy opgeneem en die dokter sê vir my Zanti, weet jy wat, as jy hom nie nou gebring het nie, you would have woken up next to Lawrence, who would have just slowly passed away through the night.
Jo.
Ek kan nie genoeg dankie sê vir die Heilige Gees nie. He lives in us. He knows everything. He knows what's happening every minute, every second. And we have to live under his guidance. So vandag het ek net hierdie ernstige ding in my gees vir myself en vir elke luisteraar dat daar mense is vir die Heilige Gees prompt. Hoe prompt hy jou? Jy ry in die kar en iemand kom in jou gedagtes. En jy weet nie hoekom nie, but they are in your thoughts. Ek wil vir jou sê, bid vir hulle. You don't know. You just don't know. You are maybe interceding in that moment and they're not in a car accident. Ek weet van Lou word dit met 'n dame wat vir hom gewerk het and he just started praying for her. En die volgende dag by die werk, toe praat sy van 'n inbraak en dat hierdie ouens al wou skiet in haar huis terwyl hulle inbreek en toe het net nie 'n koel uit die geweer uitgekom nie. But he immediately interceded. So ek wil vandag vir jou sê, we live by the Holy Spirit and we have to intercede when he prompts us to do something. Maar vandag wil ek jou uitdaag en met opgewondenheid vir jou sê dat jou calling is in jou. You were born for a purpose. Our first purpose is to love God with everything we are and everything we have. And then to love our neighbor as ourselves. Nog 'n purpose is to worship the Lord, to make him big and great and awesome because that is who he is and that is what we were born to do. But he also has works for us that he gave us before we were born so that we can walk in them. And the Holy Spirit will start prompting that in you. En ek wil vandag vir jou die storie van Roseanne Crabtree vertel. Now, Roseanne was 'n ouer dame and for many years she was really involved with her church in Bible studies. So week on week, year on year, she did Bible studies and she was so profoundly founded and rooted in the Word of God. But one day she just felt the Holy Spirit prompt her that it was time for her to give all the food that she's received in this year-on-year Bible studies. She started feeding the poor and giving clothes, but she felt the Holy Spirit says there's more. He wants her to share the word that he has deposited over so many years through Bible studies into her being. But she didn't know where to start or nothing. But she just had this prompting that the Lord wanted her to do this. So one day, drink sy wat tee in haar sitkamer. Niemand, sy was toe al in haar 50s. And on the radio, there's a news report. And the following story comes up. A school principal walked down the corridor of a primary school in America. She lives there. And as she passed one of the classrooms, hulle deure het mos daai glas bo in, so you can look into the classroom. She saw in the 9-year-old class, ek neem aan dis seker graad 2, graad 3. She saw a 9-year-old boy standing with a gun, facing his schoolmates and the teacher standing at the back against the wall. She walked past thinking, her first thought was, okay, maybe this is a drill. Maybe they are practicing a drill. And she just stopped in her tracks and she said, but we've never practiced drills in this way. This is something else. And she turned around and she went back to the class and she looked through the glass and she saw this young boy with her mate. And she knocked on the door. En prys die Here, hy kyk vir haar en sy roep hom so met haar vingers. She says, come here, and he does. She gets him out of the class into the corridor and she says, please hand me your gun, and he did. Prys die Here. And then she just went, I think, out of net verlichting. She just went and sat on the ground. And this little boy went and sat with her. And he said to her, "But why? Why would you want to shoot your teacher? And why did you want to shoot your friends?" And he says, "I don't want to shoot anybody, but I want to see my mommy." And she says, "Sien ma, waar is jou mama? Waar is sy?" And he says, "She's in prison." Sy sê, net daar kom die Heilige Gees. And she knows that this is the prompting the Lord has given her. She says she doesn't know where to start or where to end, but she is so compassionate towards this little boy that both of them sit in that corridor and they just cry. And so she says she had to figure out something because the Holy Spirit was nudging her to do something about this. And all she could think of was phoning the prison, which she did. And she asked if they had a program where little children can visit their moms. And they said they do. It's called Match. But the problem is there's nobody that can bring the children to the mothers. The logistics. She started a project where she raised up so many volunteers that could bring the children to prisons. So that they can visit their moms. They would fetch them from train stations, fetch them from airports, go and fetch them from a family home. And they would journey with these children, take them to their moms in prison where they can visit them and be with them. And then they would debrief them on the way back. They would journey with these children. And she says for 2 and 3 years they did this. And then she had the prompting of the Holy Spirit again that there's even more. And she felt the Holy Spirit say, "You did not do this Bible study so many years faithfully not to share with others." And she said she phoned the prisons again and she said, "Do you have Bible study programs at prison?" And they said they do. And she said, "But do you have specifically for mothers that don't have their children with them, that have to cope with this?" And they said they don't. So again, she raised up volunteers and they started this Mother's Bible study where she really did in-depth Bible studies with the mothers that were in prison. It was so meaningful. The ladies and mothers were so appreciative. They said nobody came to them and told them about the Word of God. She said she saw softened hearts, changed hearts. They became as sisters in Christ. Because she says we are all his children. She helped them memorize verses. So if ever they would not have their Bibles with them, those verses will be so deeply settled in their hearts that they would never forget them. She says, "I was so unequipped that day on the floor in the foyer or with this little child." She said, "But God equipped me every step I took in faith." So this morning I want to say that there are so many people that are in need and you were called unequipped, totally unequipped. If you ever feel equipped, it's not from God. But if you really feel unequipped, unqualified, but you have this prompting of the Holy Spirit, he will lead you a step at a time. I remember I was sitting in my sitting room or in my lounge one evening watching Carte Blanche, seeing that there were babies born in prison. It touched me so deeply that the Holy Spirit started prompting something in me. And from there, I started the Babies Behind Bars awareness campaign. 5 years I ministered in prison. Never thought that I would be in CMAX, where those people see 1 hour of light a day. That is too far from the Akvast. But if God calls you, he equips you and he anoints you. In Data Project begin today, there are so many NGOs. There are beautiful projects that were birthed out of my Babies Behind Bars awareness campaign. And I just want to leave you with Romans 8 verses 14 today that says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are called his children." May you do what the Holy Spirit prompts you, because God's blessing is in all of that. Amen.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.